Dennis Van Wyke.
Amy Arnold, the Parks Office Assistant.
Kevin Tyler, Clark County Parks.
David Stipe, Clark County Parks.
We have Steve Marshall from Hawkinson.
Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Marshall. I'm the superintendent of the Hawkinson School District.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So we don't have a quorum. We will shortly, we hope. Do we have any public comments? Amy, nothing from anybody? Kevin?
Azure updates?
Yep.
All right. Yep. Do we want to ask the?
Yeah, just curious. The people on the phone, could you identify yourself, please?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Mark Taylor. I'm a former long-range planner with Calhous County Building and Planning. I coordinated the state-funded, Washington State legislator-funded voluntary stewardship court program for almost 4 years until I got COVID four times and was unable to work. Believe it or not, I am currently employed as a fee collector park attendant contracted through a temp agency out at Louisville Regional Park, and I'm just about finishing my second season because we're limited to 1,000 hours a year. But I am the former Salmon Habitat Restoration Project Manager for the Lower Columbia Fish Enhancement Group for Lewis, Wakayakum, and Calhous Counties. I was an executive director for a regional fish enhancement group up near Bellingham in Canada, Whatcom County. And I worked for one of the 48 national estuary programs and managed the conservation district in Eastern Washington. And I just wanted to say hello. I'm actually in your waiting room on video, but I'm not part of your Microsoft team. But I wanted to let you know you have more than three people who are throwing their hat in the ring for the Parks Division manager position. I'm extremely interested. I'm also an experienced, successful grant writer who's raised, I've written grant proposals that were approved for funding for over $1.7 million. And I noticed that your job description didn't mention anybody generating revenue for the parks as a grant writer and grant administrator. So I'm only working weekends now for the rest of the season at the county. I've already been in touch with the division water quality manager, Devin, and I told her that now that my hours are winding down, I'm losing my skills working as a fee collector in the booth most of the time. And I told her I was going to come in and volunteer and spend some time, you know, teaching her staff how to write grant proposals to bring money into the county. And also, if you weren't aware of it, there's a revenue source I'm not sure you've tapped into. If you're not aware of it, Daybreak Park and the Louisville River are a Tier 1 river, code red for the Washington State Salmon Recovery Funding Board, and they will throw hundreds and thousands of dollars to restore the reach through Louisville Park and Daybreak Park. And if you haven't been out there recently, you guys are losing metric tons of soil and have collapsing stream banks for over a mile. And the reason I found that out was I'm a former agriculture teacher, you know, future farmers. And I was driving down to Daybreak Park and I fell in love with the 52-acre park that's for a farm that's for sale. And I read the sign and I was mortified to find out that they had zoned up to 11 residences of riverfront property right along the East Fork of the Lewis River. And as a conservation farmer and educator and salmon restoration person, I'm just mortified because when I worked for Calhous County and I worked for Lower Columbia Fish Enhancement Group, my job was to identify those farms that were sale and in danger of development for residential areas, especially along Tier 1 reaches with the salmon and steelhead runs that are going up the East Fork of Lewis River, if you're not familiar, are federally listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. So, whether or not I get an interview, I will volunteer to help you guys do research and write grant proposals to bring funding into the county for the parks and for the rivers. And my name is Mark Taylor, and I would love to meet you guys in person. I'm open Monday through Friday now. If anybody wants to meet me down at Daybreak Park, so I can show you what's going on. You have a potential funding opportunity through the Salmon Recovery Funding Board, and I guarantee you they could I once negotiated a $100,000 contribution from Tacoma Power's Habitat Advisory Group, which is short, the HAG for short. And they gave me $100,000 in cash and in-kind service, which is labor, machinery, and materials like large woody debris and boulders and stuff. And I actually leveraged that and turned it into a $402,000 Washington State Salmon Recovery Funding Board award. So I have some skills that I'd love to share with you, whether you interview me for the position or not. And I grew up in Clark County. I've been going to Lewisville Park since I was 6 years old, so 58 years. So just wanted to introduce myself.
We appreciate that. Have you formally applied for it?
No, I'm in the process of, you know, my resume, when you look at it, you'll see that it's a natural resource, salmon restoration, conservation, and also agriculture, forestry and natural resource, environmental science teaching position. And that's impressive by itself, but I wanted to make sure I went back and included some of my parks and recreation experience. I grew up in the Evergreen School District, graduated there, went to Clark College, transferred to WSU, came back to Evergreen School District at the high school. I graduated from, student taught there, then I taught there long term. And so, in fact, I even finished out part of my teaching years. I haven't taught in about 19 years, but I taught at Covington and Cascade Middle Schools. And I grew up in Vancouver District from first grade through ninth grade. So I'm well versed in the local schools. I'm thrilled to see that they're involved with the park. And I have so many ideas for this park. And then one thing I did want to comment on, I was also interested in the land parcel across from the farm that's down by Daybreak Park that's in danger of being developed. And I found out the county owns it and wants to, at one time wanted to develop a equestrian trail. I'm personally right now on my own time, I'm actually seeking out funding sources to try to raise a couple million bucks to purchase a conservation easement on that farm right just to the west or east of Daybreak Park. Because I do not want that to be developed. I want that to be a productive farm and the open range area, open space area for fish, wildlife. And I got to tell you, if I own that park, I would actually tell the county, you know, extend your equestrian riding trail on my part of the property along the river and make a big loop. Because I'm just that guy. I'm here. I'm all about community and parks and local youth and making sure that everybody has accessibility, including mobility challenged people and people with developmentally disabled, blind, all that stuff. And one thing I did want to tell you, though, I'm one of your frontline staff who's at Lewisville Park 40 hours a week, or I was for, you know, a season and a half. And there's some stuff at the park that needs maintained really bad. And I mean, the gutters on the bathrooms weren't cleaned out last year before winter. And I got photos of the weeds 3 feet tall. And anybody who is a homeowner who has gutters with big leaf maples with oak trees nearby and pine cones, if your downspout gets clogged up and the heavy rains come like they do at Lewisville Park in the fall and it freezes, your gutter's going to rip right off all those bathrooms. The cedar shake roofs have moss on 2 to 3 inches tall, which looks really pretty and scenic, because it's a historic regional park, but anybody who knows about moss knows that it'll even eat through a tar-based tile with little gravels on it and break down your roof. And I've been trying to tell maintenance, you know, preventative maintenance is a lot cheaper than trying to raise tens of thousands of dollars to replace roofs and gutters and stuff like that. And the potholes are horrific out there. Maintenance tells me if they were allowed to fix them when they were 8 inches around, they wouldn't get to be 12 inches deep, you know, 4 feet across and 8 feet long. And we got traffic in the park. They're going over the center line to go around the potholes. I've had complaints from hikers and walkers who twisted their ankles. And so there's a lot of maintenance needs done in that park in particular. And that I've seen needs done before you acquire anything else or develop anything else. And I just wanted to give you a heads up on it. Love to have you come out and give you a tour of it. So I just wanted to say hello, and I will be formally applying in the next day or two, and look forward to the opportunity to meet you in person. And if anybody would like to meet me face-to-face at Daybreak Park Monday through Friday to see what's going on, you guys are losing real estate because of the dynamics of the river, and I'm the guy who knows how to fix it and fix it in a way that actually benefits fish and wildlife too. So thank you for your time. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Okay, thank you, sir. Kevin? You got one other one up there?
I think that might be Ken. I could be wrong. The 521-1347.
That might be Ken on his cell phone.
Yes, I'm not Hello? Sure.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I'm on the phone. My name is Brandon Erickson, and I submitted an application for the vacant position on the advisory board, and I'm listening in today. I'm a 30-year resident of Clark County. I live in unincorporated Clark County in the Flint area and have an engineering business here in Vancouver as well. And interested in parks and would like to contribute to the community and improve our park system and do that by being a member of the board.
Next. Thank you.
For those of you that are online, you could mute yourselves while we continue the meeting. That would be
to do it because the screen transferring magic. I can, if push comes to shove, I can. I just don't want to see them back.
Okay. Don, hello.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. My apologies for being late. Some elk rolled me over on the road and held me hostage, but I was able to get out alive. So we all can be happy about that.
Good.
We are happy.
We now have a forum. We, now that you're here, all we have to do is approve the minutes. And Janice has given an amendment to the minutes.
Yeah, my motion to approve the minutes.
As amended?
As amended by Janice to make sure that that point got across by Heritage Farm.
Discussing.
Okay.
Is that the summary of the amendment? Is Heritage Farms?
No, yes, second.
And that's the discussion.
I didn't send it to John, so.
Okay.
Whoops.
That's all right. It was a discussion in the last minutes about Heritage Farm, yes, which Janice has amended.
I suggested that in that it read, Janice, Kevin, and David discussed if Heritage Farm was affected by the withdrawal of grants to Clark County due to improper environmental analysis, and Jim and David and Kevin discussed the county's compliance status. And then it goes on discussing for a preparation next week, et cetera. And I suggested we add into that, Jim, I'll read part of the previous sentence. Jim, David, and Kevin discussed the county's compliance status and assured all that Heritage Farm will not be affected by the grant status.
Okay, thank you so much for that summary. I appreciate that very much. Yeah, I second the motion to approve the minutes.
Question, Kevin.
Yeah, I would just clarify that we were speaking about how the impact on grants would affect the Heritage Farm Wetland Project. And that's the only thing that I was able to provide information on, is that Clean Water Program is, so they're moving forward with the project, regardless of this latest information that we've received about not being eligible for further funding towards the project.
So just the wetland
project. Yeah, just the wetland project. I have no knowledge of what other things at the farm may or may not be affected by our current status.
And then to say, and assure all that Heritage Farms wetland project.
Yeah, would be moving forward or something like that.
Okay. I move to make that amendment then. Yeah, put a carrot after farm, but or will that says wetlands project.
There you go. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Yes. Now on to Kevin for departments.
Okay, so department updates. So on the topic of the Parks Division Manager, which we heard about just a few minutes ago, it has been advertised now for a couple weeks. We've gone a little bit, done a little bit of extra advertising and gotten it out on the Oregon, Washington, and National Recreation and Parks Association websites, just to try to get that distribution out a little bit further. I understand that the first review of applications is will occur after the, I think it's the end of next week.
The 16th.
16th is, so that's Monday. Yeah, so that's when we would start looking at applications. And when I say we, it's our director who's going to be taking on that. And then the deputy director position with Public Works, which the Parks Division Manager would report to, not myself as a different division manager would report to, that deputy director position has had a second round of interviews recently. So hoping that we look forward to hiring for that position. And then we also had a second round of interviews for the compliance manager at Camp Bonneville. Also hoping to wrap up that recruit. And then we have one parks maintenance position advertised and applications coming in for that and gearing up for interviews. So that'll make us in terms of a parks division. And then since we're past Labor Day now, we've, you know, sort of wrapping up the busy season, that 100 days of summer from Memorial Day to Labor Day. We're starting to see, you know, we'll start to see park attendance drop off, the change in weather. As we continue to have nice weather on the weekends, we still see quite a bit of use at the parks. But we also had our year-end barbecue with staff. Jim, thanks for joining us. It was nice to have you there. And then I think the last time we were here, we talked about how the Salmon Creek ball fields have been closed off because of a major water leak and sewer leak. And so that's all been fixed, restored. Park is, the access road is now open to the ball fields again. And then I'll let David talk about any updates to CIP, to our capital improvement plan or projects. You may have noticed the turf fields are being replaced out here, so it's good to see things happening.
Right.
Anything you want to add, David?
Both the Sipton and Geyser playgrounds have been removed at this point and will be replaced in the next several weeks. I believe the Sifton playground equipment is being delivered this week, so they'll start doing the installation of that playground. And that will be the first playground where we'll have playground grass. So we'll have some fall surfacing that is like the athletic fields that you see out there in our system. So we can evaluate how that performs. Obviously, the number four field, number four or five field here is being replaced. The weather's going to start to dictate that schedule. It's not supposed to start raining this week, maybe as early as this evening. It'll slow things down, but this is this removal represents 2 days worth of work. And so when they say 4 to 6 weeks to get it done, I can't imagine what would take 4 to 6 weeks if they did that much in 2 days. But
looks like they're staged to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. And then get that field open back up. We have recommenced construction of the Pondview shelter at Klein Line. So that contractor is going to be getting started here in the next several days to finish that construction now that the Eagles have officially left the nest. They left the nest a long time ago, but we wanted to wait till after recreation season to get in there and not have conflicts with swimmers and water park users, as we've mentioned before. So many other things going on that if you have any specific questions, I'm happy to answer them.
How's the Molten Falls Bridge?
Oh, I wish I could pull up the Molten Falls Bridge pictures. I don't know if Kevin's got any of them or Amy's got any of them, but
The bridge is completely enclosed in white plastic right now. It's quite the scene with the people swimming below it, and just this big, it looks like a classic white covered bridge. And they've started to do the material cleaning. They're using dry ice blaster instead of the sand blaster or pressure washer. I shot a short video of it. It's very noisy. I didn't stay for very long because I did not bring hearing protection with me. But you can get underneath the bridge on scaffolding, and you'd have to do a real quick sort of scaffolding safety briefing. But it's a pretty cool job site. If there's anybody who's interested in making a trip out there, it's the only time you'll probably ever get to look at the bottom of Falls Bridge in your lifetime. It's in need of some love, but we're not seeing anything that's alarming at this point. There's some dry rot that's to be expected for the age of the bridge, but we're finding solutions to sort of work around it.
First was just the cleaning of it then.
Dry ice blaster is to just get all of the moss, the lichens, the ferns. There's ferns growing on the bridge underneath. the old sealant, the paint on the metal, all that has to come off so that the new paint and the new wood preservative can do its job, because of the wood preservatives of penetrating wood preservative. So all that material needs to be gone. They're going to be running late because it took some time to try and figure out how to clean it without creating so much byproduct that they would have had to haul out of there. But this dry ice, there's the only material that's left from this dry ice blaster is the material that comes off the bridge. There's no water, there's no sand. It's pretty containable. Camp Hope Water System, we're still waiting for Department of Health approval of the test, the water testing that was done after the system was chlorinated. But it's functioning now, just waiting to be able to use it for potable water. Those are sort of the big projects that have been going on this summer.
Are you in planning?
Planning Commission, October 3rd. I'm working on the State Environmental Policy Act determination of non-significance for our capital plan, which we haven't done in the last 2 years, but evidently we need to be doing that to go to the Planning Commission. So I'm working on that. October 3rd, October 17th would be the hearing for Planning Commission, and then we just did the 9-step for October 30th for the first hearing work session at council. So the addition of the Planning Commission presentation put us about 26 days behind last year, but not a big deal. We'll get there. So that's been a big lift. So, and then next year, as a reminder, you know, $28 million worth of capital work next year, big year. That doesn't include the wetland project at Heritage Farm. That's a clean water capital project. So on our property, we'll have over $30 million worth of major maintenance, new capital, stewardship capital, construction projects. It'll be a real busy year. Planning and development team is going to be probably permanently in their orange vests, and in some cases, hard hats. So, a lot of fun. Any other capital questions? Great.
Parks Advisory Board bylaws. So we discussed last month that there was a wish to update the bylaws by the Parks Advisory Board to stagger the appointments and terms. So we don't have essentially either three or four of you all expiring at once. So to have, you know, maybe it's something like 3-2-2, something like that. So we can stagger that. And in a review of the bylaws, it appears to be relatively silent on the matter. So we would need to create something. And so today was, the idea was to talk about that and come up with a plan, whether that needs to be a subcommittee of Parks Advisory Board members to come up with language, and then we on editing the bylaws and getting it approved by the rest of the board.
You say 3-2-2, are you talking about term duration or you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the term duration is 3 years, and when we reappoint somebody, they're up for a new 3-year period. So it's always after 3 years, we have maybe it's four or maybe it's three people whose terms are expiring. And so I think the way, and we've done this with other boards in the past, where to shake that up a little bit, the next time you appoint somebody, you'll appoint them for a 2-year period or a 4-year period, so that you get that stagger built in. And then from that point moving forward, then it would be everyone that's on 3-year terms, but you have two expiring, followed by two expiring, followed by three expiring. So you never run into the risk of not having a quorum for a significant period of time, like
or a majority of newbies.
Right.
So is there wording in other advisory board bylaws that addresses this issue that could be copied and adapted?
Oh, you mean just copy, paste, and replace?
I've seen something. So I work with the Noxious Weed Control Board and the Railroad Advisory Board. We also have the Heritage Farm Advisory Team. I know that there has been language used with the Noxious Weed Control Board, and it's something to the effect of when it was established. So this dates back to like the 70s, but like when first established, Noxious Weed Control Board will stagger their appointment term so that it's, you know, alternating years. And from that point forward, everyone will have 3-year terms. So I think the language would be something similar to that.
Mm-hmm. It'd be good to see that.
I've been straight from the Constitution, Section 1 about the United States Senate staggering their terms and sticking it in ours. Senate, the Parks Advisory Board, 6-year term to 3-year term.
Yeah, so.
But I'm definitely aligned with this. I think it makes a lot of sense. It's just the matter of how do we navigate assigning people to say 2-year terms for a little bit to try to make that work. Might have a little bit of an initial pain, but I think for the sake of the board in terms of trying to keep us consistently, trying to avoid what we had last year when we had so many missing folks on the board that made it harder for to do business and improve minutes even. So definitely aligned with this.
And then when I was on the Washington chapter of the American Society of Landscape Architects board,
yeah,
we dealt with this exact same thing. And so I can go back and look at their bylaws and see if there's some language in there. And then the other thing that I had mentioned in our last meeting, it would be nice if somebody to have the ability to have someone, like I believe John is filling somebody else's term. Are you filling somebody else's
term? Yeah, not on a full term. And my term ends this.
Yeah, it'd be nice if somebody came in after someone's term was half complete. Like if the person served half of their term, instead of a new Parks Advisory Board member having to finish less than half a term and then running and then do the paperwork again to get interviewed, that they're just on the Parks Advisory Board to finish that term and then the next term. So you don't, and that would naturally stagger because a lot of people are going to do what was it Teresa? And then
the gal from Richfield that used to work here.
Lynn.
Yeah. Thank you. You're better than they. Yeah. So you feel those people are filling terms and it just sort of naturally staggers things out. And then you don't have to have the pain of getting or finding somebody to commit to longer than a typical term to try and get that staggering going. I don't know.
No, that's good. Because I think with a couple of these positions, it's you were appointed for a very short period of time.
Yeah.
And we've had one on the Noxious Weed Control Board where we appointed somebody. And by the time we got through the recruitment process and had them reappointed in the year, it's time to apply again.
Yeah.
Or 3 months later, it's time to apply again. And
yeah.
It's a lot of work to go through the process just to then.
I think that's pretty easy language to put in the bylaws. Yeah. If a Parks Advisory Board member is completing the term of a departed member that's less than 50% of that term, then they serve out that term plus a full term. Yeah. And then it just makes it easier on the candidates too. They're like, okay, I don't have to do this again in 3 months. So, but I'll look at these bylaws and if you can look at the Noxious Weed Board.
Yeah, and I'd see some in the Railroad Advisory Board.
Okay.
So we can come up with some examples. Put together an agenda item for next month and then come back to talk about which ones you guys like and wordsmith.
Is there interest in somebody on the board having that sort of first draft sent to them to smith it and then bring it back and like a little mini committee?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. You send it out to all of us. Come back with them.
Okay.
Everybody's on the bylaw committee then?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
That works for you guys.
Yeah. That's fine.
I appreciate that.
And we just cover more ground.
Yeah, it's only one section of the bylaw because we've already reassembled to have the bylaw committee meeting next door.
Yeah. Between Kevin and I, we'll figure out how to.
We have a lot of sources of inspiration.
Put together some revisions with track changes and send them out.
All the advisory boards have the same issue. If you run into a situation where a bunch of them leave all at once and then don't seek reappointment, and there's a lot of education and then. Business just screeched
all. Yeah. So. That's kind of what happens is we lost that whole board and then we tried to reappoint ourselves. And we got a 3-year term and it didn't work.
It's fixable.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the next new business item is it's really two items together. So the first is that we advertised for a vacant position. Mm-hmm. It was Tanya's position.
Right.
We received 3 applicants. One of the gentlemen online mentioned that it was Brandon. He submitted some information. And so typically what would happen next is we would form a subcommittee, a couple of members of Parks Advisory Board to work with staff, myself and Amy, to review the applications, schedule a short interview with each candidate, and then come back to the Parks Advisory Board to make recommendations on who we felt was the best candidate for the position, and then the Parks Advisory Board would make a decision. So I think we're looking for a couple of volunteers to help us review those applications.
Thank you.
Right. All right, John and Paul. So Amy and I will coordinate.
We already have our 2.
Come on in, Don.
Oh, you can make it 3. Sure, why not?
Yeah, I enjoy that.
Yep.
Let me know how I'm failing in life.
Yeah.
I need to step up my game with some of these applicants.
Yeah, because since my term ends, I have to see how with the competition.
That's right. So we'll coordinate on getting the materials to you and then setting up a time to do interviews, short interviews. And we can do those virtually through Teams, if that works for everybody's schedule. We can also schedule a time to meet somewhere if that's preferable. Just kind of depends on timing, I think, and how many people and that kind of thing. Okay, so the second thing was, as you mentioned, John, we have a couple of expiring terms. That's yourself and Paulo, who are filling vacancies, and your terms expire at the end of the year. So we need to re-advertise. Also, so we need to start that process relatively soon, so that we don't have any lapse in coverage. And then also we need to see if you're interested in throwing your name in the hat again. And I think regardless, we have to advertise in order to get it through the process and have the county manager make a recommendation to council on an appointment. We have to do the whole process. And so if you are interested, it would just be an email to myself and Amy saying, I'm interested in, you know, in being considered for another term, and then go through the process again.
When do you want that email by?
Well, it'd be after we advertise. So this
442.
Yeah, 42.
There's a cut off.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea with the agenda item tonight was just to get your support in advertising for that sooner than later.
Yes.
Amy and I can work on what that looks like. I think we already have a draft going because we just did this. And so we can get it in front of the county manager's office staff to start that advertisement.
I mean, I'll just send you an email when I get home. Yeah. If you can just keep it on file.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
And so we'll do the same process. We'll advertise it for, it's about 3 weeks. And then when we get information back, I mean, since it's two positions that you're both wanting to, you know, be reconsidered, I think it makes it relatively easy to move through the process. That's all that we had today, I think, right?
And I have to apologize. God, you know, I was supposed to be my flight was supposed to arrive 3 hours early, and you know how that goes.
Yeah. Anything else for the good of the order? This is going to be a schmicking quick and get out of here. Good.
Oh, I have a question. I know that before the previous manager left, we were talking about the fee. We had one meeting about the fee. I don't know if it's
cost recovery.
Yeah, cost recovery.
Yeah.
Where are we on that?
Yeah, so I think we presented that in a work session, didn't we?
The fee adjustments?
Yeah. Yes.
So it went to council, and they basically said, we need to see the entire package of sort of revenue adjustments all together. And so that would include the potential for a levy lid lift and the park fees. And so that's the direction we got.
So before Rocky left, we had been working on a more comprehensive look at parks budget, the component of it that's the district budget, the component of it that's the general fund budget, and just everything all together, and starting to work on some presentation materials to bring to council. And so that's essentially
part of the fees part that went to council. After that meeting, we did have a meeting with Rocky.
He started the
subcommittee.
Yes, it was myself, Don. I think you were there as well.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering about.
There was the cost recovery of that committee. As opposed to fees, which is a response to the council's feedback to the fees.
That's
right.
We had the
initial meeting where we discussed sort of the way ahead, and that's where it was on hold until Rocky left. But I know there was a lot of discussion on how we were gonna move forward. Amy sent out a doodle. There wasn't much more work than that, just establishing the foundation.
talk about cost, like cost recovery policy.
Right. Yeah. That's what we were working on.
No, we talked about that at our policy meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cost recovery policy is on a long list of policies that we're working on. And so, unfortunately, our policy analyst, I don't know if that's her technically her title, she left the county on the 5th.
Yeah.
And so there's nobody on point for policy adjustment, development, review, that's doing that job full time. So there is somebody that's doing that work, but we're prioritizing things because there's not a person.
No, I just wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still on our radar.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's a multi-tiered approach to work on the budget for parks. The fees are one component of it. The district and the levy, and you know, how do we handle that moving forward? The general fund component, David and I are working on essentially what's an interlocal agreement between the district and the county, which are two separate entities. We know that there was an interlocal agreement when the city was combined with the county as the Vancouver Clark Parks and Recreation District. And with that divorce, we always call it the divorce, with that separation, there was not another interlocal agreement between the county and the Greater Clark Park District established. We need that to be established. So then we can move forward with some of the work on the budget. So there's laying this groundwork. We have a lot of the work in terms of how the budget is, you know, forecasted to work out over the next 6 years. So we're just, all of those pieces come together. When we have the division manager hired, we can, as an organization, start to have those conversations with the council and get some direction on how to move it forward.
I feel for you guys. So when people leave.
It's challenging.
It does. Our goal is to have the interlocal agreement between the Greater Clark Park District and the county ready for execution before the end of the year, because the Greater Clark Park District Board only meets once a year. So it'd be nice to be able to go to them and have that conversation. So
the members of the board are mostly counselors, isn't it?
It's counselors.
Yeah.
But they only convene at the Greater Clark Park District once a year. And then they end that meeting, adjourn that meeting, and then they go into a council meeting. So it is structured the way it's structured. And our hope is to go to council for a work session on that in October,
late October.
23rd, to lay it out for them, and then go to the Greater Clark Park District Board, same people wearing a different hat, say, hey, we talked to the county.
It's pretty interesting.
And then the Greater Clark Park District may have to convene to adopt the or agree to sign that. The interlocal, we're still trying to figure out the sort of the needle, the thread on that. But it does help us address some sort of immediate budget things. Plus it puts an agreement in place that's just always been sort of, this is what we're doing. There's not really any, nothing in writing for the last, 10 years? 12 years.
It's 10 years, yeah. 2014 was when the city and the county decided to part ways.
The Great Separation,
yes.
Great divorce.
Yes. So.
It was, for what it's worth, I went to the Vancouver Parks Advisory Council meeting last month. Just Janie came and she invited me. Yep. I said, sure, I'll go.
Yep.
So, again, It was quite pleasant. They're doing the same sort of stuff that we do.
No kidding.
They also have an opening too. You know?
Yeah, they do actually, yes.
And for what it's worth, my family and I went to Louisville Park, and there were some other families there. And what impressed me is there was one family, they were having a family reunion. And I just happened to talk to them, like, oh, you know, I didn't say who it was. I said, man, what a beautiful place, you know. And they were very complimentary. And one of them had a comment that they come from Boston, somewhere East Coast. And they said, man, they envy this this place. They said, we envy this place. It's really, really nice. And gosh, I never identified myself, but that was proud of us. Like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, look at us, nice. You know?
Yeah. So I bragged to my family. I'm like, yeah, it's because of me.
Nice. Well done. Well played there. Well played.
It's good to hear those accolades, because when you're in the business of looking for things to fix, all you see is things that need to be fixed. You know, when I believe it was Mark who is going to apply for the division manager job, mentioned the roofs, that, you know, all I see is 25 or 30 roofs that need to be replaced at Louisville when I go to Louisville.
No, I mean, it was a large family.
And I see the potholes.
It was a large family. Yeah, so. It felt really good.
Wonderful space. It's in need of a whole lot of love. Yeah. So it's nice to hear some people enjoying it.
Anything good of the order?
I make a motion that we close the meeting.
Thank you guys. Thanks. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, team. See you guys later. Wow, they ended quick.